Look in 1 Chronicles with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I'll help you with it. You'll find that right before 2 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 13, verse 1. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. Boy, that's a sad statement right there. All the under Saul, they inquired not at the ark all the days of Saul. Verse 4. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Baalah, that is to Jethrim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of the God the Lord that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark home, the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Much that we could try to cover, I want to give out just a little bit of introduction and then we'll get to the message. When we look at the text, it's talking about this, how that David has taken the office as king. You know, David waited patiently on the Lord until God's timing, and after the death of Saul, then David was made king first in Hebron for 7 years over Judah, and then in 2 Samuel 5, he was anointed the third time and was made king over all 12 tribes of Israel. Well, here as David's ascending, taking the throne of, king over Israel, he realizes the greatest need that they have as a nation is they need God. They need God. See, the ark represents the presence and the power of God. Amen. It's sad, I pause there at that verse, that under Saul's reign, they inquired not, all the days of Saul's reign, they inquired not of the ark. Inquired not of God all their days. You know, that parallels our nation. You know, our founding fathers, they sought God in everything they did, in all the documents and all the governing principles. Excuse me. In everything, they sought God in all of it. Amen. Well, Saul had no time. Saul started out humbly. He was a big man physically, but he started out humbly. But it didn't take him long to get caught up in the pride of life. And being caught up in the pride of life, he didn't need God. He was king. Amen. But David's a different story. David was a man after God's own heart. David knew the greatest thing he needed was he needed God. The greatest thing that Israel needed is Israel needed God. Amen. Amen. Now, he's gone to fetch the ark. Now, where was the ark? Well, if you go back into 2 Samuel, you'll find that, 1 Samuel, excuse me, you'll find that the Philistines were lined out against the children of Israel and greatly outnumbered the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, the men of Israel, got the bright idea to bring the Ark of God into the camp of Israel. And when they brought it into the camp, all the men of Israel shouted with a great shout. Well, we know one thing from that. They weren't Baptists. All of them shouted. Amen. Okay. And it put fear in the hearts of the Philistines, the men of the Philistines. Okay. But amazingly, God allowed the Philistines to capture the ark. And they took it home and put it in their temple of their god, Dagon. And the next morning, they went in and checked on things in the temple of Dagon. And Dagon's fallen on his face. He was no god. Amen. You know what's amazing in that? Is they popped him back up. That's what people do today. Is they make up their own god and keep popping him back up. Amen. Well, they went in the next morning after that and all they find is a stump. And boy, that really put fear in their hearts. So they decided to send the ark back. Okay. Now, when they sent the ark back, they put it on a new cart. And they hooked up some milk cows to it. And sent it with them some offerings and things. And sent it back to Israel. Okay. It ends up with the Ekronites and different things. That's not where I'm headed, but I thought I'd throw that in. Because it's relevant here in just a minute. So David now realizes, though Saul didn't need the ark, though Saul didn't need God, David knew he needed God. So the first order of business after he becomes king is he's going to fetch the ark. Amen. Now that's a good thing. We need God. Amen. We need God. But now, God's business has to be carried out God's way. Amen. The church is not an organization, although it has some organization. Amen. Meaning that we don't operate as a company or, you know, some worldly organization. Yeah, it's not a CEO with a board, governing board and all these things. God operates His business through His man. Amen. It's amazing. What kills churches is committees. They'll have a committee for everything. They'll have a committee to decide whether they can put this up for VBS. They'll have a committee whether Jerry Morris can build a lighthouse or not. Amen. So Baptist churches is almost like old McDonald. You know, here a committee, there a committee. Everywhere a committee. I heard an old man of God say one time, you know what a camel is? It's a horse put together by a Baptist committee. Amen. Well, we don't need committees. We just need the man of God in touch with God. Amen. So, David here now, he's all excited. He knows Israel needs God. He needs God. They need to go fetch the ark. And David's all excited. I mean, we're reading there where he gathers all the tribes together and He's announcing them how they need to bring the ark back. And boy, they've got the musicians and they're all excited and they're playing that thing up. But David tried to bring the ark back as the Philistines tried to send it. They put the ark on a cart. You know, it's amazing how God allowed the heathen to abuse the things of God, but not the children of God. Not the children of God. What are you getting at? Well, if you check it out in Numbers and different other places, in Numbers chapter 7, it outlines in the first part of it how that the Levites were given responsibility for the things of God. And certain families within the Levites were given carts, but not the family that was to bear the ark. They were not given a cart. That those priests and that family, their responsibility was, you remember the ark, it had the rings in the side of it. And there was those staves, those wooden poles, that they would run through those rings. Then those Levites, that part of the Levites, they were to get up under that and bear it upon their shoulders. And those priests were to carry the ark. Amen? Okay? That's how God's people were to handle the ark. But David, boy, he's doing a good thing. He's going to fetch the ark. But he's going around about it the wrong way. Amen? You know, that tells us a lot about today's society. They think they're doing a good thing, but their methods are all turned around. Amen? Too much world. Amen? Hey, we've got to do things God's way. Well, David fetches the ark, and they put it on the cart, as we read here. And it talks about Uzzah and Ahio. I'm not sure about these names. If I didn't pronounce them right, you can ask the preacher when he gets back. Amen. And but what's significant here is that as they're bringing the ark back, the cart hits a little place in the road, and the ark shakes on the cart. You know what we read? And Uzzah put his hand upon the ark to steady it. And God smote Uzzah. What are you getting at, preacher? God's very careful about how He wants things done. Amen. Uzzah's trying to help God out. Isn't that stupid? You know, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble trying to help God out. Amen. God doesn't need our help. God just needs us. Amen. So Uzzah, he studied the ark on the cart, and God smote him. Now, that angers David. I can tell you this, you're on the wrong side of things when you're displeased with God. Preacher brought it out the other night. God's right in everything He does. God's never been wrong. God's always right. God does right. Amen. Amen. Well, God smote Uzzah and it angered David. So David, now what's he going to do with the ark? Well, he drops it off at the home of this man named Obed-Edom. We read about him there in verses 13 and 14. David drops the ark off at the house of Obed-Edom. Now, look at verse 13 again. Notice some things. We'll get in the message. It says, "So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom. Now look at the next two words. The Gittite. Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Now, this is not a trick question, and you may not know the answer because of it says Gittite. So I'll help you before I ask the question. Okay? Obed-Edom, by designating that he's a Gittite, is telling us where he's from. Amen? It's like saying Brother Morris is an Alabamian. Amen? Jerry King's a Tennessean. Amen? You get the picture? It's just telling us where he's from. Now, why is that important? Well, by being a Gittite, it's telling us that Obed-Edom was from this place called Gath. Now, are you familiar with Gath? Who do you know from Gath? Goliath. The Philistine giant. See, Obed-Edom was from the same place that Goliath was from. The Philistine giant. Amen. So, Obed-Edom was from Gath. A Philistine. From the same place as Goliath. Now, it's interesting when you realize that he's a Gittite. Why would he even take the ark into his house? You know, news travels fast, and bad news travels even faster. And that's before twits and tweets and chats and I'm still emailing and texting. Amen. At least I'm doing that now. Amen. So, I'm sure that Obed-Edom had heard how God had smitten Uzzah. Amen? I'm sure he was aware of it. Plus, now he was from Gath. Why would he be interested in the Ark of God? Amen? After all, the Philistines, they worshipped Dagon. Amen. Where are you headed, preacher? Well, here, you think about it. Obed-Edom, I can imagine, I'm surmising, I'm supposing, though it's not always the best, but I'm thinking that Obed-Edom, by being, from Gath, that he probably had a pretty miserable existence. Can you remember where you were before the Lord found you? Gath isn't a pleasant place. You're only fooling yourself if you think you're doing well. Amen? That, I don't know what Obed-Edom might have experimented with, but you know, it's amazing how that every individual knows there's something missing in their life. Everybody knows there's a void. And people work hard trying to fill the void. Some experiment in riotous living. Alcohol and drugs and what have you. Only to be left twice empty with their experimentation. Amen. Others get caught up in religion. They're just as empty in their religion as the one is in riotous living. Others get caught up in their own self-righteousness. They keep doing things because there's a void. And they want to fill the void. And they don't like that empty feeling. So they fill it up with all the things they can do. All to no avail. I'm looking at Obed-Edom in this light. That he probably had tried anything and everything and was still empty. So that when David dropped the ark off at his house, he's probably thinking, I've tried everything else. Might as well try the Jews' religion. And he let the ark into his house. Amen. Now, can you imagine Obed-Edom as a lost man? I don't know. It doesn't tell us a whole lot, but you think about it. If he was married and worked a job and had children, you know, the typical lost man doesn't appreciate anyone or anything. It's all about them. Could you see him coming home and the wife had a hard day? Johnny threw a rock and Susie's head was cut open and the washing machine quit and she didn't have time to fix a big meal and he comes in and wants to know where supper is. So right off, he's upset. Amen. And then he gets on to Johnny, where are you throwing rocks for at your sister? You getting the picture? I mean, a lost man, they put on a good charade. But in reality, there's no peace inside of him. There's no peace inside their home. There's nothing worth living for. A miserable existence. Now, he could have been the deacon in the Dagon church. I don't know. Amen. He could have dabbled in everything and anything. What fell? Amen. But there was no peace. So he said, I'll let the ark in. So David leaves the ark with Obed-Edom. Now, look at verse 14. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. Now, notice this. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Boy, there's something different when God moves in. But when you let the ark of God in, boy, it changes your whole perspective. Amen. He went from a non-essential, just a miserable existence to the joy of the Lord just overnight. Amen. Can you remember where you were when God saved you? How miserable your life was. And then one day Jesus passed by. Glory to God. What a difference when Jesus passes by. Amen. There's a song. Yes, it's different. And I'm off key. Oh, so different now. Hey, God makes a difference. Amen. But now when he comes home with the ark of God, in his house, now when he comes home, his wife's had a hard day and he'll say, oh, that's all right, dear. Don't you worry about it. Said, we'll pick up something. It'll be all right. And Johnny, he tries to explain to Johnny why he shouldn't throw rocks. You get an idea? Amen. I mean, he's a changed man. His house is a changed house. That's what happened when the ark comes in. That's what happened when God moves in. Amen. It changes your whole life. Glory to God. Amen. So the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. That's exactly what God does when you get saved. Amen. Now, I meant to mention Obed-Edom. I did tell you he was from Gath. And just by being from Gath, he was at enmity against David. Amen. It's not anything he did or didn't do. It's just the very fact that he's from Gath. That he's a Gittite. that he's at enmity with David. Well, that's you and I in our natural state. You didn't do something to become a sinner. You were born a sinner. You were born on the wrong side of the tracks. You were without hope. You were without God. Just the very fact that you're a descendant of Adam, you were lost and undone, bound for a devil's hell. Amen. People don't go to hell because they drank or did drugs or did this or that. Hey, they go to hell because they never let the ark of God in. Amen. Okay. So, his life turned about. Things are different. Okay. Now, I've got four thoughts I want to preach this evening. Amen. Look here in chapter 15 with me. I've set it up. You understand? Obed-Edom, his house is blessed. The Lord's moved in. I don't know what the music of the Philistines would have been, but he's not singing that. It's now there's power in the blood, washed in the blood. To God be the glory, amen, when the ark moves in. Well, look at chapter 15, 1 Chronicles 15, and look at verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. See, David gets right. You remember, he was mad at God. He was displeased with God. Amen. But God worked on David. And David gets right. And he realized it was his mistake, that he was the one at fault. And so now he's fixing to go fetch the ark. Amen. He's going to the house of Obed-Edom to fetch the ark. Pick up the reading. Read on down here with me. And it mentions all these names and the sons of Korah and all these different ones. Let's read from verse 12. And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of God, the Lord God of Israel, unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of God, of Israel, the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereof, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Now, after those 3 months of being blessed, of having the blessings of the Lord in his house, David's come to fetch the ark. Now that puts Obed-Edom in a quandary. What's he gonna do? David's coming after the ark. There's several possibilities. One, he could have told David, said, God's been too good to me. You can't take the ark. The only way you'll take the ark is over my dead body. And David would have said, Joab. Amen. Or he could have said, well, it was good while it lasted. You know, that's the problem with a meeting. We got a summer of evangelists coming. But if we're not careful, it'll come and go, and we'll say it was good while it lasted. Amen. Or, what's the other option? Well, he could pack up and go with David. Amen. Now, read on down here with me. We're talking about this Obed-Edom. We see where he was the enemy of God. Now, I want you to see where he's the servant of God. Look down. We'll pick up the reading. Oh, let's read from verse 18. Okay. and with them their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah. Well, I should have skipped another verse, got all them names, but Ben and Jael and Shemaremoth and Jehiel and Unni and Eliab and Benaiah and Messiah and Mattathiah and Liphalei and Micaiah. And if I didn't get all the names right, Benjamin will tell you later. But notice that next name. And Obed-Edom and Jael the porters. So what Obed-Edom do? He said, God's been too good. He said, David, you're taking the ark. I'm coming with you. So he gets inside and tells Mrs. Obed-Edom, start packing. Start packing. I'll go get them U-Haul camels. We're going to Israel. Amen. And they packed up and followed David to Jerusalem. Amen. Now, he just didn't follow David. Amen. Notice something here. You remember his life was so changed, so turned about. We read verse 18, and the last part of it talks about porters. Obed-Edom just didn't go. Obed-Edom became a porter. Amen. Now, that's old English. What's a porter? You ever watch these old black and white movies with the trains, passenger trains? There was a man that would take your luggage, your baggage. He'd show you where your room was on the train. He's the one that would let your bed down and let it back up and clean the room. What was he called? A porter. Amen. See, Obed-Edom wasn't along just for the ride. Obed-Edom got involved. He was a servant. Amen. He was a porter. In reality, what a porter is a waiter, a servant, someone who waits on another. Amen. Years and years ago, Barbara and I were given, I got to watch my time, were given a gift card to Ruth Chris Steakhouse, and it was for $100. Got as an offer in our offering. And I showed that to Barbara and I said, look, we got a gift card to a steakhouse. We might eat there a couple times. I'd never been to Ruth Chris. I didn't have a clue what it was. Well, we were down in Georgia in a meeting. And we were headed back home to Alabama. And we were going through at Birmingham. And it was getting close, you know, we were... to eat. So I said, you want to use this gift card? And she said, yeah. So I called the number and they said there was a Ruth Chris in Birmingham. And they gave me directions. I went there. I told them we were casual because I didn't know what they would expect. And they said, well, it's mid-afternoon. You'll be fine. So, I mean, we were casual. Okay. But, I mean, there are still businessmen in all their suits and ties and women all dressed, you know, business people. Amen. But the lunch crowd was dissipating and it had slowed down. So they took us to a table. And there was a man there that was the waiter. He had a towel over his arm. They sat us down and gave us menus. And I saw why the gift card was for $100. he brought us our salads But before he would bring the salads, we were sipping on some water. And it's probably not this way all the time, but they were so slow that I drank a drink of water. Here he come with that pitcher and top it off. Barbara take a sip of her water and he topped it off. I said, Barbara, look at us. Well, aren't we something? Brought our salads, and after our salads, he got this little tray thing out with a lid and a little whisk broom, and he's sweeping all the crumbs off the table. And then He brings us our meal. And then when we're about to finish up, he said, "Would you like some coffee?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll have some coffee." So they brought it in something that made right there on the table. And after it made, he came and poured the coffee in my cup. And the same thing, I take a sip, put the cup down. Here he is, refilled. I thought, that's pretty good. You know what he was? He was a porter. He was attentive to our needs. Amen. That's what Obed-Edom was. He was attentive to the needs. He was a porter. Notice the second thing about him. Jump on down in the verse. We'll read, for time's sake, let's read verse 20. And Zechariah and Aziel and Shemaroi, all these names, Jehiel and Uni and Eliab and Messiah and Benaiah with salt priests and on Alameth. And Mattathai and Eliphelai and Micnai. And who do we find? Obed-Edom, Jael and Azariah with harps on the Shemaneth to excel. So, he's not only a porter, but he's a participator. He's getting involved with the music. Amen. Now I could see him saying, "You know, I'm not real familiar with this music. You know, I wasn't raised in this, but I'd like to have a part in it." Amen. So he got involved and became a participator. Amen. People often ask me, "What do you see on the road, preacher, as you travel?" Spectators. Spectators. They're coming to church. What can you do for me? But that wasn't Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom, what can I do for you, O King? Amen. He was a porter. He was a participator. I'm trying to hurry. Okay. Look, read on down with me where we left off. And Chenaniah, and chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. And Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the ark. And Shebaniah and Jehoshaphat and Nethaneel and Amasai and Zechariah and Benaiah and Eliezer the priest did blow with the trumpets before the ark of God. And who do we see? And Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark. Now, not only was he a porter and a participator, but also he became a protector. You're familiar with Psalm 84? I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Amen. What's a doorkeeper, preacher? Well, you remember again, them old black and white movies? And they'd show somebody going to that big high-rise motel place. And there'd be a man standing at the door. And he'd come out to the cab or the whatever they were riding in and open the door for the people would get out, and they'd get out, and then he'd go back up to the door, and he'd open the door and let them come in. He was keeping the door. Nobody came in unless they came through him. He was the doorkeeper. Amen. The protector. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, if somebody'd come in, And I know I'm not supposed to step down around all this stuff. And said, "Look here. You know, this King David, you know, he's doing some funny things right now. Obed-Edom, stand up." And he'd take him and say,
"Come on up.
You're not welcome here." He was a doorkeeper. "Hey, you're not going to talk about my king. That's my king." Amen. "You're not coming in here and messing up things." Amen. He was the doorkeeper. "You're not going to talk about my church." Amen. He was the doorkeeper. You know, the old devil, he hates the church. Boy, he wants to cause discord. Sow discord. He wants to divide the believers. What we need are doorkeepers. When the devil plants those tares, well, pick those tares up and say, we don't want that here. Amen. Hey, you don't talk about my preacher. Amen. Hey, you're on pretty shaky ground. I'm telling you right now, you say one more word and it's over for you. You don't talk about my man of God. Amen. He was the doorkeeper. We need some men to stand up. You know, it's a shame. We have women with more backbone than men. The women will stand up and say, don't talk about my pastor. Amen. Hey, yeah, we need some men to be protectors. Amen. Not only protecting the man of God, but what he preaches. Hey, don't question his preaching. If you've got a problem with him, go to him and ask him, and I'm sure he'll be able to explain to you. Amen. I tell you this, I wouldn't want to debate him. Amen. What are you saying? You ought to be a doorkeeper. Well, hold on, I got one more. He was a porter, a participator, a protector. Look in 1 Chronicles 16. And pay attention as I read, verse 4. 1 Chronicles 16, and look at verse 4. You were in 15, just a page over. Okay? Verse 4. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4. And he appointed certain, he here is David, King David, he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Now, what were they to do? Come on now. I just read it. They were to thank, they were to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. That's what David's going to appoint them to do. Okay? Now look at verse 5. He's appointed. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, boy, I apologize again on the names, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and who do we find? Obed-Edom, and Jael with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. So here now, David standing before all this congregation, and he says, I'm going to appoint some people, some men, and what they're to do is they're to record and they're to praise and thank the Lord God of Israel. I can see Obed-Edom back there. I'm coming down again. Amen. I can see him back there somewhere. It's all crowded, so I'll sit right here. And he hears that, and he says, me! Appoint me, King! Let me be the one! Let me praise you! Amen. Why? Lord, it changed his whole house. God had changed everything in his life. Amen. He says, if anybody ought to be able to praise him, let me be the one. Amen. Let me be the one to praise him. Amen. I'll tell him how I was from Gath. I was wrapped up in all that heathen stuff. And then one day David dropped the ark off. God came in. Boy, my life's been different ever since. God's blessed me. Let me be the one. Amen. I go to a lot of meetings, and sometimes the pastor will say, does anyone have a word for the Lord tonight? And you'd swear, he said, you're next in the dentist chair. Everybody gets closed mouth syndrome. Not me. Hey, did the ark come in? Did God change your life? What are you waiting for? Amen. Hey, you ought to shout a little bit. Yeah. You know, I have people tell me, says, Brother Shank, we don't have to see you. We can tell when you're in the service. Well, join me. Amen. I need a little help. Amen. Hey. I'm telling you, He's worthy. Our Lord's worthy. He's the best there is. There's nobody like Him. Boy, you ought to clear you out of spot and call recess and praise Him for a while. Glory to God. Amen. If that's not good enough, take it, grab a flag and run around the auditorium. Amen. Hey, He's worthy. Amen. Well, I got a last point and I'm done. Boy, I like this extended time. We're looking at Obed-Edom. He was the enemy of God who became the servant of God. He was a porter, a participator, a protector, and a praiser, one who praised the Lord. What I want to show you is the result of packing up and going with God. Look in 1 Chronicles 26. 1 Chronicles 26. The result of packing up and going with God. 1 Chronicles 26 and verse 4. Notice now. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, Sakar the fourth, Nethaneel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Shulthi the eighth, for God blessed him. Amen. Also unto Shemaiah, his son, were sons born that ruled throughout the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor. Notice it didn't say they played second base. It didn't say they dunked the basketball. It didn't say they were tailback on the high school team. Amen. Boy, y'all were with me a minute ago. Amen. I'm not anti-sports, but I'm anti-sports being your God. Verse 7. The sons of Shemaiah, Othniel, and Raphael, and Obed and Elzabad, whose brethren were strong men, Elihu and Semachiah. Now notice, all these of the son of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men for strength, for the service, were 62 of Obed-Edom. It pays to go with God. Amen. 62 descendants of Obed-Edom in service for the Lord. But it pays to pack up and go with God. Amen. Oh, you might not live in a brownstone mansion or drive a new Escalade, but you might have 62 descendants in service for the Lord. Amen. Hey, what is he saying? I'm saying it pays to go with God. Amen. Obed-Edom. We can learn from Obed-Edom.